Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello and welcome to Awakenings. Welcome everyone to the program. I'm your host, Michelle Mache. It's great to be here with all of you. I really, really mean it. It truly is. What a day, boy. Couple things I want to jump in and talk about, but before I do, I want to give a full appreciation shout out for those that have been leaving the wonderful feedback on the Awakenings Radio page on Facebook and also on iTunes. And I really appreciate it. You know, I love what I do and love the appreciation for it as well. How's that? That, as well as the emails that have been coming in regards to questions, comments, or show ideas. So you can definitely, you know, email me anytime that you want to. One of the reasons that I do the program also, a little bit of my community service, so that I can, you know, do readings or share with people or just hold that the space, especially in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, also known as the chat room. Some wonderful insight that I see. I also hear back some amazing appreciation for the chat room. People saying that, you know, it's better than any other chat room. They love it. That they feel that people are very open, honest, helpful. That they've gotten good, you know, feedback. They feel very welcome. That it's very high consciousness. So, you know, all of this, we're creating this place, this community, this program, this connecting. Everyone is part of creation in it. And the chat room, you know, in fact, I'm working on something as it folds, but I keep saying with expansion of Awakenings and being some blog talk, and one of the things that I said, I really want space for the chat room. As we take this to another arena, I'm in talks with, in fact, I'm meeting later today about it. And the idea is that the chat room, I feel everybody holds the space. Those that are listening via iTunes, the archives, Cosmic Dimensions, everywhere, just like our soul pod groups, you know, all across the world, we all are holding the space. We're all allowing this space for this divine unfoldment that we're a part of, and for literally the consciousness raising that is taking place, the expansion in awareness and consciousness. It doesn't just happen by itself. We have to hold the space for it. We have to co-create it, and which means we have to put in time, focus, intention, persistence. It is this unfolding. If you do have questions or comments or you'd like a reading, the number is 347-539-5122. And always love doing those readings. I really love tuning in. And if you do have a question or comment and you call in, press 1 on the keypad. That lets me know that you want to get on air, that you want to share, be heard, get a reading, just connect. And also, I've had a couple people email me, and you know who you are. You can call in as many times as you want. It's not only one time. You know, if there's a lot of people on the switchboard, I might say, you know, limit it to one question, but you could call in every week. That's fine. I have nothing. I don't feel it's taking advantage at all. In fact, I encourage it, especially if you're going through something, whether you want to share a lot, if you've got some insights that you want to share, that's great. Or if you are going through a challenge. This is what I'm here for. The guests are here for, to answer questions relevant. And the chat room. I mean, the chat room is, you know, a wealth of connecting, sharing, and insight. Again, 347-539-5122 is the call-in number, and press 1 on the keypad. I do see a couple callers, and we will get to you. I wanted to touch base on something that I've been seeing come up a lot. And then we had also a couple, about 5 emails on this topic, so I want to touch on this as well. I ask everyone that to look and see where your emotional stuck states are. If you're stuck in a lot of anger, a lot of resentment, your stuck states, because we want to be like a fine violin, if you will, or any kind of instrument, because our physical body, our physicality is the instrument for us, for our spiritual essence, if you will, embodied. We embody or imbibe the spiritual essence that we are, but we experience and express it through our body mind. And so we're meant to have emotions, energy in motion, and play those out, feel those out. However, when we have stuck states, stuck emotional states, chronic emotional states, what it is signaling is an area where you're resisting and not willing to move forward. So you want to look, where is there anger? Who are you angry at? When we're angry at someone and we can't let it go, we're using that anger to stop us. We're also giving that person or that situation the power. We're saying that that person or that situation has power over us. We allow them to control us. So when you feel that anger, or I can't do this anymore, or this person is the cause because he's doing this or she's doing this, I can't live my life, I can't move forward, I can't express my gifts, I can't be of service, you're literally using it as an excuse not to move into your full potential, not to live your soul gifts. It's wasting the inner wealth, the gifts that you've been given in this life to manifest and co-create with, to share, to be of service with. So one thing that gets the energy moving again is a focus on gratitude, doing a gratitude list, a gratitude email, coming into gratitude of what you do have. And I even like saying, even though this situation is happening, or even though this person did this to me, I have these gifts. I'm going to move forward, even though. And then you can begin to release. Now, I'm not saying to necessarily forget, but I am saying to take back your energy from being stuck on what was done to you. Because when we stay stuck with what was done to me, it's an excuse from the ego to not move forward. Or if you're in a state where you're punishing someone, I'm not going to move forward, I'm not going to do this or that because they did this to me, or my life is so hard. So, number one, you're not punishing really the other person. You might be making it difficult for them to live with you or be around you, or if it's a company or a work environment. But that anger and resentment festers within yourself, and it's stopping or blocking you from your gifts. So also a forgiveness list, and forgiving yourself for even holding on. I also do have on my Meditation for Everyday Living, the book and also the CD, the forgiveness meditation, which is very, very powerful, because you move from forgiving others, what you perceive they've done to you, what you've done to them, but also forgiving yourself. So this is to get the energy moving. And Tamara in the chat is saying every situation has blessings if we have the willingness to be with it. Yes. Yes, there's always a blessing. You know, and some things you don't necessarily want to be around, but if you're still in this environment, whether it's a living situation or a work situation or a situation with yourself, then you're moving through it. There is a process going on, and there's a validity. Maybe you can't see it right now, or as Tamara put in the chat, there's a blessing there. So you want to see, where am I stuck? Do I keep having this anger? And you need to bring it to yourself and say, why? How is this anger serving me? How is me saying that this person or this situation is stopping me from living my life or doing what I really want to do? How is that serving me? Because if you're holding on to something, if you have chronic emotional states, somehow it's serving you. And very often it's the fear, perhaps, of one's power, empowerment, or unfolding, as Nelson Mandela had so well put, as well as, I can't think of her name right now, Marianne Williams, so there it is. About really fearing our, what holds us back is really fearing our light, our empowerment. And I have actually found that to be true. After counseling and working with thousands of people, and I'm going to insert myself in there as well, I have really found, and in the hypnotherapy I've done, the clearing work, the transitional counseling, the transpersonal therapies, transpersonal psychology, channel guidance, psychic guidance, all of the tools that I use, what really holds people back, it's not so much a fear of failure or success, it's the fear of not having the love or the connection, that things change so much that our family, we're not connected as much to our family, or maybe we out-earn our parents or they don't understand us. Because when you do change, when you do grow, sometimes there is a disconnect, right? And in that disconnect, sometimes you are more alone, or on your own until new people come into your life. So I've really, Rev Deborah Joy is saying, believe me, I've been there, yes. Oh, Tamara, this is so true, Michelle. Face what you think you are afraid of. Such amazing power there. Yes, absolutely. Again, it's another thing you can say is, even though I'm expanding, even though I'm growing, I will still have love and connection. Even though I'm leaving this job or going to another job, I will still have love and connection. Visualize this when you're making your changes and feel it, that as you're growing, as you're changing, that there are like-minded individuals with you. And Marley Kay is on the chat is saying the same with money. Yes, I can't tell you how many people I've worked with, and even some very well-known actors, celebrities, that the fear, when we uncovered what the root fear was in their, why am I not getting roles anymore, what's happening, was the fear that when I make this kind of money, my life is so going to change and people aren't going to understand me anymore, or I'm not going to be able to be with those same people. So I agree with what Tamara put in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, a.k.a. chat room. You've got to face that, because until you face that, I'm afraid that as I grow, as I change, or as I receive more money or earn more money, as I have this more expanded lifestyle, that certain people won't be in my life. Okay? You've got to face that. And my thought is to all of you that some may not, but you do have to look at that. Where you're allowing stuck states and stuck energy in motion, where you're allowing that in life, you're hiding, you're saying, you're using another person, you're using an external situation or external people or external individual or external person as the excuse of why you're not moving forward. Why? And we do this with illness too. If that's not part of your path, a lot of injuries, people getting injured a lot or getting a lot of illnesses chronically. Because believe me, our little ego is very, very powerful. It can co-create situations to block us or stop us because we're not, as Tamara put in the chat, not facing what we need to face. And I'm not saying every time you go to a new level, there is going to be some fear of the unknown. It's just, that's how we're wired. A hike you go on, you might you know, you ever notice going somewhere if you haven't been there before, it seems to take longer. You know, you're not enjoying the ride as much because you're looking around. But once you know, it's like you take in the sights, right, the sensations, take it all in, and you know where you're going. So this, you know, this time period, which started in January till about May, June, is a really good time to really look and see, clean that mental, emotional house, really see, be honest with yourself. Yeah, and I'm not talking about, oh, I got angry with that person, or I'm angry at my boss, or my job, or it's hard. I'm not talking about the fleeting angry that we have, or someone cuts you off and you're angry. I'm talking about when you have that seething anger underneath the surface, or and you're blaming someone for your existence. You're blaming someone for your circumstances. It's because of him. It's because of her. It's because they don't appreciate me, or they don't like me, or my job, or my school, or it's because of this. It's because of the money. Where you're blaming, you're basically checking out. You're lying to yourself. And a lot of people won't tell you. They'll chime in, oh, yeah. But it's, you know, it's the way of hiding or saying, I'm not going to, you know, it's the excuse. So I can't do this, or I couldn't do this because of him or her. They're the problem. They're the reason. So until you, like Tamara so put it, you've got to face it. You've got to be where you really are. And you've got to love yourself for it and say, okay, I'm going to move through this, or get the support to move through this. But at least be honest with yourself. You see, you can still have an expanded consciousness and do a behavior that is, and hear me out here, and do a behavior that perhaps isn't as life-enhancing, as long as you're not fooling yourself, as long as you're not lying to yourself. If you can say, ooh, I'm doing this, and I know it's not so life-enhancing, I know this isn't healthy for me or isn't right for me, but I see that I'm doing this. I see what I'm doing. Now, because there's awareness there, but when we lie to ourselves, when we lie to others, but mostly when we lie to ourselves about what we're doing, our motives, it means that, you know, you're not willing to step fully, you know, not willing to step fully into your true essence, your soul essence. And that's okay if you don't want to or you can't, but admit it's because you're not ready, or you don't want to, or you can't. It's very empowering to say, I can't do this right now. I'm fearful. I'm afraid. It's not empowering at all to say it's because of someone else. But it's empowering to own up and say, geez, I don't know if I can do this, or I want to do this. Or maybe you don't want to. That's okay. You have free will choice. But own it. Own the energy. Own the empowerment. That allows you to extend out more, and really start harnessing more of your spiritual energy. Because this isn't about blaming yourself or judgment. It's about harnessing that energy in motion and getting it moving so you can co-create with it, you can manifest with it. All right, let's get to the phone lines. Hello, 561-389, welcome to Awakenings.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Who am I speaking to?
This is Chris.
Hi, Chris. Did you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I had a couple questions.
Okay.
First of all, the content, the beginning of this show is really great, and it's really speaking to me, and I love it. My question is, my girlfriend and I are thinking about conceiving, and I wonder if the guys have anything at all to share with me on that matter.
The first thing I hear is I feel a weight a bit. Are there some things you're working out? I feel, they're telling weight. It can happen, but I feel you two need to get more on the same page.
Right.
Is a big thing. There's some finance stuff. Also, you have some different goals, different dreams, different goals. You know, it's very interesting because a lot of times people, and I'm not totally suggesting it here, Chris, but a lot of times people have children to bring things together. And what I have found, it usually does the opposite, because a child has not only its own timetable, especially when they're infants, but it shows where those cracks are, you know, and makes them kind of, you know, wider. But I would say look more towards the end of this year.
Okay.
But get on the same page. And the finance, you got to get the finance a little more stable. And there's something with your beliefs or values. There's something, what's going on there? There's something askew between the two of you where you're not lining up.
I think it just has to do with what's been happening recently and just like, you know, trying to get in a good place where we're at right now. Kind of move forward with everything.
So spend some time with that is what I'm hearing. Otherwise, it looks very good. But spend some time with that to flush everything out. You know, how would we parent? What do you think about this approach, that approach? Really flush everything out and the finances. And it does show more towards the latter part of the year looks better for that. So that you really prepare, yeah.
That's a good point. I haven't really thought about that, like how you're talking about just like, you know, methods of raising a child and all that. That's a good point.
Oh, that's huge. I see that.
Oh,
in my
of course,
counseling.
Yeah. But it's funny how sometimes you don't even think like that. Sometimes.
Also, the kids later on will play you. They'll play one against the other if you've got different approaches, and you don't want to do good cop, bad
I'm
cop.
Sure.
Good pair, yeah. So, and any other question?
One of the ones I had is her sister is out in Arkansas right now, and every day it seems more and more inviting to go out there and do where they'll do what they're doing. But, I'm not so sure if there's any advice on that. If it's like,
okay, let me look and see. See, that's one of the things, lifestyle. See, this is one of the things you guys need to look at. Right now what I get is there's a romanticism there. I would visit first and check it out. But I do feel that you are looking, both of you are looking at a lifestyle change or wanting to live differently. But I also feel you both need a little more zip. So I don't know where they're living, if that's going to do for the long term, is what I'm hearing. Right? Okay.
Right.
So.
No, it makes sense because they're like pretty much living out in nature, like in the raw and everything, you know.
Yeah.
And her and I guess are more used to the little, you know, kind of suburban lifestyle, I guess you could say. And so... But that's also been discussed, too, because, like, you know, obviously there's places around that area that we could do that. But no, it's...
Well, visit, feel it out. I feel like you could make a happy compromise of something
right.
similar, but I feel them way out in the toolies, so to speak, which I'm not seeing that right now for the two of you, you know. And it does seem down the road there's going to be something you're doing more as a business together. And that could be that there could be a move to a more of a smaller town, or more rural.
Would it be more like kind of an art oriented type of business?
Art, yes. Is that what you're saying? Art.
Yeah, like something to do with like art.
Yeah, art. I just see packaging stuff, so it could be. It's related to the arts. I don't know if it's selling something that you're going to be. Selling or you having your own, you know, studio or something like that. But I do see a shared work together. I would go more in that direction right now and then have the child after that gets going on, you know. Get that stuff, more foundational stuff going and some of your career aspirations going, your artistic aspirations going. Have that birth and then... The being bring you know, the baby into that.
Gotcha.
All right. Great to connect with you. Thanks for calling in.
All Oh, it's always a blessing. Thank you, Michelle.
Oh, thanks so much. Wonderful energy. All right, remember, if you want a question or comment, you do need to press 1 on the keypad. Otherwise, I don't know that you would like to get on air. Hello, 484-241. Welcome to Awakenings.
Oh, thank God. I was on a long time ago, and I didn't think you were coming on, and I got re-upped, so thank you.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I had some major, last minute, I mean, like 3, 4, 5 things going on, and then I thought, I have to have my tea. I can't.
It's all good.
So I thought, thank you. So I thought, I can be 4 or 5 minutes late. Appreciate the wait, though.
Oh,
and what's
you.
Your first name?
Marilyn.
Marilyn, hi.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm in a vortex. I am kind of trying to figure out with divine guidance where to go. I have a house, and I'm trying to figure out, should I stay here? Should I rent it out? Should I sell it? What should I be doing work-wise? I have I've been trying to get things going in a couple of different paths. Haven't had a relationship in some years because I was busy raising a son. And just I'm sitting here going, oh, my God, you know what? Please, something move.
Let's see what you need to work on first. Okay.
Because I've been trying to work on all of it, and it's just...
Yeah. Let the universe or God do that if it's a big clean sweep. I don't feel that. Now, the first thing that comes up with you is money, loans, handling some kind of more mundane detail things. That's the first thing that needs to get taken care of. Now, you said you were thinking about moving.
Well, I'm open to wherever God wants me to be. I'm great with that. And, money is in that vortex of everything as well. Work, money, health, romance, everything. Everything's I'm not seeing anything. You know, I'll put energy towards other, different things, and then I'll sit and be quiet, and I'll meditate, and I'll journal, and I'm like, okay, what?
Well, I feel it's where you are right now. Yeah. It's where you're focused right now and creating the deepening. I feel there could be a move. See, I don't see around you like a go-to place. You're not. What I would suggest to you is focus on, and this is for everyone, this is very powerful because this allows the higher self to really come in and move you along in your life. Focus on the quality of people, the quality of situations that you want to experience. And I would write those down and say, this is what I want to experience. If it requires a move, you'll end up moving. I did that before, and I've ended up in some amazing places, either drawing things to me, or me being drawn to things or people or situations, or if you feel like you're going to be moving. Because I do feel a move around you, but it doesn't feel... Now, what is North... Is it you, North Carolina? Is there something around you with the North or South Carolina?
I thought about that some years ago, and I took a trip down there. I was like, no.
Okay.
I do journal, and I do my vision board.
But it's all at the ego level. Listen to what I'm saying. Ask for the quality. See, the thing I love, I started doing vision boards and mapping, mind mapping in the late 80s or early 92, 93. The issue with those is we usually do it, we're in a beta state. We're not in a meditative state when we do that. So we're planning stuff, and it's from the ego. So what I want you to do, Marilyn, is I want you to focus on the quality, not the exact situations. Like, if you like artistic people, artistic situations, you like theater around you.
Hello? I can't hear you. Hello? I think I lost you.
I'm back. Okay.
Oh, Marilyn. Now I hear you.
Okay. Yeah, we had a little blip on the BTR. It disconnects me every now and then. I'm getting used to it. I'm not taking it personally. Focus on the qualities.
Yeah,
not the
exact, I do.
Because the qualities are, okay, what are the qualities you want then?
Honesty. You know, good heartedness. You put. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I don't test well.
Okay.
But, you know, things like honesty, authentic, genuine. You know, good spirit.
But see, you're not focusing. Where? What kind of things do you want in your environment? That's why I said qualities also of the situation.
Yeah.
Because I feel you're blocking yourself. I feel that there's something new that wants to come in, but you have. That's probably why the North Carolina came up. You have old images or old pictures still kind of floating in your mind. And every now and then we need to kind of update, but we don't know what that updating looks like. We just have to allow that space for new impressions to come in. So what I would say to you, I want you to just, in a new unit of time, very objective, very unstructured, I want you to just notice what you're drawn to, not what you think you want or what you worked in the past or what you want. Just noticing what you like in certain people, certain situations. Go for a drive. Oh, I like that kind of house. I like this. Oh, I like the greenery around. I like, it's not the specifics. Okay? Then beyond that, I feel that you're to look where you're at. The guys keep saying it's right there with her. You're to start building your life where you're at. By extending out, reaching out. So that could be interviewing, that could be workshops, that could be just getting out, driving out. But clearly what's happening is there is new energy, there's new impulses that want to come in, but they're being blocked right now. Hope that makes sense.
No, I definitely feel like there's blockages, and it might be me, and that's, of course, you know, it's like stop thinking about something when you're trying to meditate. Of course, that'll you're going to think about that more. And also in terms of movement, like I'm completely fine with running out my house and just kind of letting go and just, you know, being with family for a month or two and just, you know, traveling. Like somebody even suggested, have you thought about just going to work, for example, in California for 3 months? I'm like, oh, that would be kind of cool. Like not a big job or anything, but just something to pay the basics, just to kind of loosen up my energy and get me off this property that I've been on for 21, 22 years.
Mm-hmm. That would work, but I feel that you, otherwise you're going to be kind of stabbing in the dark. And if you want to do that, that's fine. It's like it's a student, you know, going on the backpacking tour in Europe. You need to see where you're at now, what you're drawn to now. You need to connect with that, and then the others will fall into place. And it could very well be visiting some places or working a little bit. I feel you're probably you're going to be up in the air for a little bit. The one thing that does seem to suit you, I want to say, is water.
Yes.
Maybe even a beach environment is what I'm hearing. So, and a bit more artistic. I feel you're really wanting community is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
So I would say in that case, look at what you're drawn to. If it's, you know, health food or if it's, you know, yoga, whatever. Find the communities that have that. Start there, and then when you travel, go to those places and those areas and start there, and then that will lead you or guide you. But you are, it is about you kind of opening up to a little bit of a magical mystery tour, you know, a little bit of a, what do I want to say? Just kind of opening up to the influences of the higher self.
Yeah, I want to be able to get back to my family, but, you know, I don't want to be stuck someplace very far away, but I'm passionate about being able to travel around and move around and get out of my stuckness.
Mm-hmm.
And money will help me to do that, but the money's been blocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's why I do it where you are now, because wherever we go, there we are. We bring our mind with us. Okay, thanks for calling in,
Thank
Marilyn.
You. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. Okay, we've got time for a couple more, and then we have our guest that's coming on. 954-205, welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, my name is Darlene from Florida.
Okay, Darlene. Hi, Darlene. Do you have a question?
I'd like to see what comes up for me. You can ask your guys if for any guidance.
Okay, do you have a question, a specific question?
Yeah, it would be work-related.
Okay. Work-related. A lot of stuff on the line with people working or wanting to make changes. Ask about the work. Are you wanting? It's showing you're wanting to make a change. Yes.
Well, yeah. It's a new career that I'm trying to get into.
Okay. Does this have anything to do with housing at all?
No.
Okay. Somebody's got stuff with the house. Maybe I'm still picking up on Marilyn's. And you want to know if this is the right position?
No. I know it is. I just.
I just want to know if it's going to happen, actually. Oh, if it's going to happen. Okay. You're just starting it. Well, it does show something speculative coming in for you, meaning, and I feel more project-based, actually, but I'm getting more movement, I would say, from May and into, May, June. So if you're just starting, it really doesn't seem to be picking up immediately. I don't know if that is making sense to you. It seems like you've got a bit of a space before. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I would look for results or something more concrete, you know, without having a specific question, in the May and June. And it's going to take a little while to get off the ground, I feel. Maybe 6 months. Does this have to do something contractually as well? I'm seeing contracts around this.
No, but I guess it could, you know.
It could down the road? Okay.
It would be working with the animals.
Okay. It feels like there's a longer time period for this to get going. So I don't know if it's something you're trying to start off on your own. And it does show some more of a group work with this. And you will be working out of a facility, is what I'm hearing. So there will be a locale or location with this. I would go for it, but it does feel like it's going to take a bit. If you're wanting something that's quicker, it does show that it is going to take time for it to get off of the ground.
Okay. But
I would go for it, but just know that it's going to take a bit of time. 6 months, 8 months for it to build. There seems to be something more, and maybe it's just a verbal contract where you're going to a location or you're working there, but that feels more tangible result May, June. All right, Marilyn?
Okay.
All right, Darlene. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, one last question. Hello, 646-824, you're on Awakening.
Hi, Michelle, it's Earth Mom, honey.
Hey.
Quick. Hello, darling. It's funny, I looked at your guest and it was like in times of, it was like freedom in the chaos, and I was hoping it was freedom from the chaos. Right now I just feel like I'm in so much chaos, and I even took on watching a friend's cat, and that's got me freaked. Just lots going on. I just feel like, whoa. And anything you can help me with clarity on that?
Grounding, you know, sometimes we take on so much because there's tangible steps that we need to take that we're not taking. Sometimes, and on one thing too, and our guest can even, you know, touch on this more when he comes on, you know, out of chaos comes new order, comes creation. You know, when you're painting, when you're doing something, before it comes completely into form, there's bits and pieces that have to come together.
Mm-hmm.
I feel for you, there's tangible things you need to do. So having the chaos or taking on more is keeping you from doing those tangible steps.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm sort of messing myself up here.
Well, a little bit. Little bit, Earth Mom. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because and now it's too late to get out of this cat sitting thing. I was like, oh, what was
well,
I thinking?
Well, don't lament. Just know something has to be put on the side burner. There might be some things on the back burner, but the side burner, do what you can with the cat. But just awareness, like I said at the top of the program, awareness of when we do certain behaviors, what's behind it, and love ourselves and say, okay, I'm afraid to do this step, this next step, or this tangible step that I need to do, so I'm putting stuff in the way, you know. And that releases a lot, right? That right there, that releases so much.
Okay.
But let's not be afraid of the chaos, and let's see. I think we have our guest on. Let's see what insights he can lend to us on this. You'll be listening. Okay.
All right.
Great to connect with you. Thanks for calling
in.
Thank you, listener participants, as always, for calling in. It's great to connect with all of you. We have a great guest today, Tony Samara, and his new book is called Shaman's Wisdom, Reclaim Your Lost Connection with the Universe. But he also talks a lot about the chaos. Where are we in the sense of, I would say, even our chaotic lives, how to get free. Free. How can we be free of that chaos? Hello, Tony. Welcome to the program.
Hello. It's nice to
Hello.
Hear your voice. Can you hear me?
I can, Tony. Wonderful to connect with you. If you could speak a little bit louder, bring the phone or headset a little closer.
Yes. Can you hear me better?
Oh, better now. Yes, yes.
Great.
Yes. So... let's dive in here. We had a caller, I don't know if you heard, about her life was chaotic right now, that there was a lot of chaos.
Yes.
Can we just dive into this, because you have this idea of freedom in the chaos. So it's not freedom from chaos. It's not running from it. You're literally
yes.
saying that there's freedom in the chaos.
Yes.
Can you shed some light on this?
Okay.
What do you mean by this?
Yes, I do feel that we've entered a very interesting era, and perhaps your listeners might agree that there is a sense of intensity or speeding up that is happening around the world, both on an emotional level and also on a more external level. Things seem to get more difficult to deal with, and mm-hmm. the tendency, you know, that I hear from people speaking to me is that that seems like something that we need to get away from, or, you know, it's just too much and we just want to slow it down or change it. And like anything, I think the answer is there, and that we don't actually have to move out of whatever is causing us distress, but we actually have to look deeper into it, and by looking deeper into it, find the wisdom that allows us to be free. And this is, you know, philosophical, but actually in a practical sense, quite easy to put into practice. And depending on each situation, you know, everyone is unique and we'll have to deal with it in a different way. And the practice is, you know, embrace life. You know, don't try to change it so that it's fitting into a model that your mind sort of accepts or finds interesting, but just embrace it. And with the excitement and freedom that comes from just going, as you said just now, into the chaos and embracing that, everything begins to become much more clear. And I think that is a Western thing, that we're afraid of the unknown, and we always want to control things to come to some sort of picture that we are feeling comfortable with, rather than going to the unknown, which, who knows? You know, there might be some very interesting things within that space that we need to just be open to.
So it's this openness. And Tony, you said something that in these times where things are speeding up, which is so true, and there is, it feels like much more life force energy so on the planet, so therefore with more life force energy, there is more life. There's more going on, you know. There's
exactly.
more happening. How do you suggest that one acclimate to this? I don't know if I want to say cope,
yes.
but acclimate when they find their life getting more chaotic like this.
I understand. I think what is important is that we actually take some time to overview what is going on, rather than analyzing what is going on, just to look at what is really valuable, what is important in life, and look at what is not important and what is taking up our time, our emotional energy, our physical energy, our mental energy and space, and create a very clear plan how to work with that, you know, in a real tangible way. What can one do? If, for example, we live out of a space of fear, and in this sort of year of 2012, that fear is magnified, so overwhelms us and creates a sense of, oh, I can't do anything, it's just too much for me. If we look at the fear, you know, and embrace it and say, okay, here it is, this fear within me is preventing me from doing this, or following my dream, or living out a certain way of existence, then, you know, by allowing oneself to let go of that fear, we create a much more open space to embrace what is there, what is actually there behind the fear, and what is there that's being hidden by the fear. So we can embrace something that is perhaps unknown to us because we've spent so much time focusing on what we know already, which is I'm afraid of living life, or I'm afraid of experiencing relationship in a more profound way, or whatever it is that is happening for that person. So the first step in a concrete sort of step-by-step understanding of the situation would be to let go of what is not valuable and embrace what is valuable. And even if one can't do that, just the intention of doing that, just putting it out and to the universe and to the world creates a certain flow of dynamics that begins a whole process, a new process.
Mm. So it sounds like we're always in this process in a way, if I'm hearing you correctly. Yeah, always.
It does seem so for many people today, but it shouldn't. It shouldn't be, you know, like a heavy process. It should be, you know, a bit like a theater. It's interesting, you know, without the changes and without the interesting challenges that life is all about, you know, nothing really moves. And if we're a little bit detached from the process and we just see it for what it is, I think we can laugh at things. And that is important also.
Mm. Yes, I think the thing, the theater, I like what you say about that, and kind of keep it light, right?
Exactly. You know, too many people are serious, especially, when people begin to look at their lives, you know, sometimes the sense of all the things that one has to do to change life becomes so personal and overwhelming that we get very serious about the journey. And actually, it is very important to be lighthearted. Because life is a joy. It's not about, you know, getting caught up in whatever.
Mm-hmm. So connecting to the joy of it. I love the title of your book, e-book, actually, and Shaman's Wisdom, Reclaim Your Lost Connection with the Universe.
Yes.
Can you share with us what prompted you to write this book? What was the impetus? And what are you wanting to convey to people? How are you wanting to help them through this book?
Okay. I mean, this book was written a while ago, and it was basically an inspiration from working with native people around the world, from you know, the Pacific Islands to South America. And what I noticed was that native people tend to have a sense of connection to to the universe, to the elements, to the world, to earth, nature, people mm-hmm. around them, the community. And what I've noticed in the West is the sense of separation or the sense of loneliness or the sense of not really understanding how we fit into the whole big picture. And, you know, too many people travel to remote places and, you know, want to understand how native people live. And that's fine, but I don't think it's a matter of leaving behind your life or the way you've been brought up or socialized. I think what is important is to learn from human beings who are very wise. And many native people are very wise, and that connection that they have is a result of that wisdom. And I just wanted to convey how, you know, my perception of the situation growing up in a Western world and going to a native world, you know, how can we apply such things mm. in a real practical way? How can we make our life more connected to the power of nature and the power of love and the power of how it is to flow with life in a joyous way? And I wrote it in a very simple, easy-to-follow way so that you don't have to be an anthropologist or, you know, an academic to understand the complex words. It's just down to earth, because that is how native people convey their message. And that was my inspiration, you know, how can I bring that sort of wisdom back to the Western world and not say, okay, let's all change the world and, you know, go up to the Andes or, you know, into the rainforest, but how can we apply these things in a practical way here in the Western world, in mm-hmm. the place that we live?
Mm-hmm. I like that, in the place that you live. The other thing that I want to, you know, is it's not all necessarily all Native people. I mean, I have a Native American background.
Okay.
My mix, not all yeah. in my family is very conscious, yeah. aware, awake.
I understand.
Some are, yeah. some are.
Exactly, exactly. And that is a very good point, actually, because, you know, so many people who are not Native think, you know, create an ideal picture, which is far removed from reality. And, you know, this is what I convey. You know, human beings are human beings, no matter where you go. You know, there is every sort of experience in every society, and it's the same. But the tendency, you know, especially unspoiled communities, you know, far into the deep into the Amazon, there are people who are not so touched by TV and media and yeah. violence. And the tendency is there is a sense of a more lighthearted way of living, just because that's what happens when you live a simple life, like children.
The simplicity.
You know?
Yes, but that is true. I see that actually with some of my relatives. And at one point, I thought, is that sometimes not having drive? I would even say my father has this, a very simple kind of humble, that somehow in you know, perhaps more of a patriarchal, more in the mainstream society, that humbleness or contentment with what you have, or the contentment to the connection to yourself, to friends, family, to nature, somehow gets, I don't know, rubbed out, or it's not valued, maybe, Tony. Maybe that's
exactly.
the word. It's not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There is just too much.
So how do we get that? How do we...
Yes.
Yeah, how do we get that connection again? It must have been in there.
Yes, I think, you know, we are born with that connection. That's the thing, you know. And many people look everywhere except, you know, right here in this moment where we are connected, and read books and follow all sorts of interesting philosophies and try many different things. And the thing is, it's much more simple. You know, it's much more down to earth. And I think the first step is to acknowledge that there is beauty around, you know, and just to take time to feel it and be present to that beauty. And, you know, for example, you know, let's bring it down to a practical, everyday experience. You know, if you have a partner who you love, you know, what do you do? Do you know, if you're very busy working and stressing because you have to pay various bills, and then, you know, there are so many other things to do, and basically there is no time to appreciate the person that you love. The tendency is that the love gets hidden behind the stress and the daily chores of maintaining the modern lifestyle. And I think, you know, the step is to acknowledge that, okay, this person that I'm with, that I love, it has a very deep value for me in a real sense. And when you acknowledge this aspect, I think your focus changes. You know, you're just able, and you're more aware, able to remember the love that you had when you first met this person, and the feeling and the mind and the heart and the spirit that was there present when you first fell in love with that person becomes much more clear. And that is a step in the right direction with all aspects of life, with children, with anything that you're doing in life, just bringing the value of that into a more present state of consciousness is an amazing step in itself.
So I hear in this, it takes time. I'm hearing the element of time or slowing down or looking within or contemplating. It seems to me to be saying that, well, you've got to make it a priority or a preference, but you have to take the time for this connection.
Of course. You know, there is no two-minute spirituality. You know, it's not something you'll fit in between TV programs or, you know, whatever. I think it has to be a change of lifestyle. And, you know, it's the same with love. You know, you can't say, okay, I'll fit you in between 7:30 and 8, and then I can love you for a half an hour, and then I'll go back to whatever else needs to be done, you know. It has to be much more profound than that. And I don't think it's just slowing down. I think, you know, it can be speeding up. You know, you can intensify your life in the sense that the love that you feel for a person becomes more intense, and you do more because you value that. The moments aren't wasted. You know, like too many people waste time, you know, and when you ask them, what have you done today? And they don't know, you know. Oh, well, I went to the shop, and then I had to do this, and then I had to do that. But really, what did you do that is important? And, you know, those quality moments are the ones that need to be intensified rather than slowing down and doing nothing. It's, you know, bringing what is of value more intensely into your life. So then, actually, you live life in a more real and complete way, and I feel then life really begins to be interesting.
Can you talk about, you know, you cover this in your book, but if you can touch on the idea of the will and intention.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
That's a good point. You know, many people have been socialized to such a degree that we're very competitive, meaning that, you know, we're always wanting to achieve something. And, you know, we're taught at school and at work and college, wherever, we've learned to survive in this sort of modern society that, you know, we have to get what we want. And the way to do it is to compete and to be the best and to be the number one. And, yeah, it works to a certain degree. But in actual fact, you know, real life is not about competition, in my understanding. I studied marine biology and ecology, and really life is about everything fitting into a balanced state of being. I call this, you know, cooperation. Everything, you know, has to move around a certain sense of harmony. If there is disharmony, then everything begins to not work so well. And I feel that this is what is important, that we drop this competitive will of, you know, everyone else is not important, and the only way I'll feel or be something is by pushing all others aside, you know, like Business Today, for example, and saying, you know, I'm the only thing of value here, but to create a sense of intention, which is, you know, the value system that is important. For example, I want to understand ecology, or I want to understand business marketing. That intention creates a greater sense of universal intelligence in the mind, or creative intelligence, that understands things in a new way. So what you're giving to the world is not just I take, but what can I give that creates mm-hmm. more value to business marketing or ecology or spirituality or love or whatever it is that, you know, is the focus of that moment. And intention is that. It's moving forward with the idea that everything is in harmony and that we are going to fit into that harmony in a very beautiful way. Competition is just pushing aside that harmony and saying, my ego or my desire or my need is more important than anything else, and so that is my focus. So intention is basically relaxing your belief system so that it's clear, and you have to do a lot of work to get to that state, but at the same time, it's not about pushing. It's more about acceptance and wisdom. You know, it's difficult to portray an experience like this in words, but, you know, I used to run marathon, meaning, you know, on some level, it's a very competitive sport. You know, you have to push
yourself. Used to race.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. You race to be number one.
Yes.
And, you know, it worked for a while, but I wasn't really satisfied with the feeling of being number one, even though that was perhaps my initial interest. In the end, that's how I discovered meditation, because I wanted to really make the marathon perfect. You know, I wanted to do things in a way that was amazingly special, not just reaching the goal first. And so I learned meditation to relax my mind, which is very important when you push yourself to the limit, so that no energy was wasted. And so, you know, the sense of doing that created an abundance of energy, and I was able to really be present to my body, to my breath, to the way the mind was functioning, whether it was sabotaging or really allowing the process to move forward in a very wonderful way. And, wow, do you know, I've never run so amazingly well as I did when doing that. You know, and there was such joy, and the satisfaction wasn't in just the winning. I was enjoying the moment of running, and so that in itself is an amazing experience. And you usually win anyway.
When you're in that alignment.
Exactly, when you're happy and, you know, you're there.
I had to run with music, and people, the hardcore-ies, just really kind of admonished me when I had my music with me. But my time got very whittled. I got to about to 5-minute miles with music.
Wow.
Without music, not so fast. Yeah. One thing I want to ask you, if you would touch on a bit of your unfolding. I know from the book you do talk about having a, I believe, a blood disorder disease growing up, and that kind of set you apart a bit in a different path. If you could touch a bit about that and your own awakening, how did you get in on this path of unfolding?
Okay, I mean, they're both related. You know, children are happy little people, and I was, you know, I was very happy, but I have a blood disorder, which is genetic, basically, called thalassemia. So basically the blood cells don't function so well. I mean, it doesn't affect me in any way, but it's there, and it can show itself in many different ways. And as a child, you know, my health was a bit of a problem. So I spent a lot of time in bed getting, you know, whatever time that I needed to get better. If I was suffering from sicknesses that were, I was more easily susceptible to those sicknesses than most. And, you know, it just made me think about things. And
so you did actually. Now, what age was this? Obviously, lying there recouping.
You're born with thalassemia. See, it's a genetic thing. It's not something that you get. So, you know, my memory is like from the age of four, where, you know, I was unwell, basically. And actually, that is quite an interesting thing, because in shamanism, this is what happens. You know, when you're unwell, you learn about healing. And so lying there, I didn't just do nothing. I didn't have a TV or anything. So I just began to learn about myself, because I began to look at the picture. Why am I here and not playing with my friends? You know, what am I doing here in bed, and I don't really like it. Okay, it's nice to be away from school, but, you know, after a few days, children get bored very quickly. And, you know, it forced me to look at life in a very different way. So that was the initial sort of experience of sickness, and I learned how to live with any sickness, simply because that's what you do when you begin to heal. You learn from the depth of that experience how to deal with situations, and I got better, you know, and began to question life beyond the physical, because initially it was just a physical sickness, but then I began to ask the question, why, as many children do today, you know, many, many whys. Why is everything the way it is, and why am I here, and what is death about, and why, you know, are things just the way they are? And I grew up in North Africa, and, you know, why are people poor, and why is there suffering, and so many questions. And so this led me as a teenager to look at spiritual traditions, even though my family was not really spiritual or religious in any way. Somehow, you know, after philosophy and psychology, you begin to look at everything, and I discovered meditation, and meditation was the first step to enlightenment. And I think anyone who practices meditation, which means simply to acknowledge this moment, has a sense of what this moment means, and this moment is so eternal. And so in meditation, that experience happens many, many times. And then it's a matter of understanding that experience in daily activity. And that's what began happening. You know, I sat in a Zen Buddhist monastery, and I meditated from early morning to late evening. And you just learn, like anything. You know, when you practice, you learn. And that's what I did. I learned how to look deeper into life.
It is that. And do you find yourself with that awareness, Tony, that in a sense being guided
to
your experience? You do, okay.
Of course. I think we are all guided. You know, we are all more complex than our mind understands. And there are so many interesting things out there that help create our destiny. And I studied science, and, you know, science is very interesting, but it has a very limited perspective of reality. You know, it sees reality from one perspective. And I think that there is a lot out there that helps us to see the big picture.
And it really is, you know, you say that big picture, it really is that idea, right, of the microcosm, macrocosm, the individual aspect of us and the collective.
Exactly. You know, we know now, as we study people and we study quantum physics and we study the many interesting things that we thought we understood completely, that there is a lot more to understand. And we know that the bigger picture has much more influence on reality than we ever thought before. And this is why today, as rockets go up into space, they're amazed at the new ways that things function that they're discovering.
And how important do you feel it is to take that time to contemplate or reflect on this? Perhaps if somebody is one spiritual practice.
I think it's very important. And actually, I feel that children need to understand not just how to read and write, but what I call emotional intelligence. And spirituality for me is understanding oneself in a complete way, emotionally, mentally, physically. And that is spirituality. You know, when we have a deeper understanding of ourselves, we know how to create more harmonious steps in life. And so life becomes more enjoyable. And we value what is real. You know, we don't get lost so easily. And emotional intelligence is definitely lost. And meditation for me is understanding not just, you know, your emotions of I feel good, I feel bad today, but, you know, the deeper aspects of ourselves. And, you know, otherwise those emotions tend to sabotage the way we do things and get in the way, and we are in a conflict with ourselves because we're never satisfied. And I think children need to learn this, you know, or have the time to learn this, or have school or their parents say, you know, it's not about, you know, you have to meditate or you have to do this or believe that, but, you know, just to give a space for children to develop that quality of self-confidence and understanding that comes with that sense of intelligence. We usually wait till we're adults and then we're so messed up and go to the psychologist or do some sort of therapy in the hope that we can work through, you know, the damage that has happened and in life. And, you know, that's not the right way to do things. It's better to start early, and it's better to start understanding ourselves rather than waiting till the pain is so much that we're forced to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. That's true, forced. So it's good to start earlier or get it in the family or get it in with the children.
Yes.
I so agree that... And of course, in a way, the changes that you're talking about, it's as we're doing it, it's obviously passed on, and it makes it available, that space available for the new ones coming in, you know?
Exactly, yes. And that is what happens, you know, when the family unit or when the community unit is more harmonious, more able to deal with things in a way that is joyful, everything changes. You know, we see, you know, when there's a sense of community, that crime and the unhappiness that is manifested in some places in the world today is much less. And I do feel, you know, it comes back down to the family unit. If the family unit is harmonious, there is a sense of connectedness that allows for psychological, physical, and mental health. And we pass that on to future generations. Mm-hmm. And that is important.
Mm-hmm. You know, in a way, when I'm hearing you speak, Tony, I get the idea, which I so agree with, but it's like a joyful mission or joyful purpose, joyful being of service, joyful in you know, made your own changes and assisting others to do the same. And I'm just wondering, my sense is if more people could feel this, tap into this, you know, in a joyful, light way, there is such a joy in making change, becoming more conscious, awake, more aware, and allowing others to do the same or assisting others in doing the same. What would you suggest to people, you know, whether newly awakening or they've been living more and more awake, what would you suggest to people to not only live more this way but share more? Because some people kind of hide, you know, they kind of wake up or they have certain ideas. I don't know if you went through this or not, but they don't really share that part of themselves. Right, with their family or friends. Amazing, the closest people. I've worked with people that my husband doesn't know this. He doesn't know I think this way, or, you know, or my wife. Could you share your thoughts on that? Is how people can open up more and live this way more and share this way more?
Yes. As you say, it's quite right. You know, people live many lives, you know. I call this role-playing. And, you know, on some level I can understand, you know, if your closest will not understand you, you know, why share it? But in the end, that's a dishonest life. You know, it's not real.
right.
You know, and we know in the end, if you're not real, that you create a sense of unreality around you. So you tend to, with that attitude, sustain the same lie, you know, simply because even though you're trying to change inside, you're not changing what is around you. So, you know, for me, it's about communication. First, we need to communicate with ourselves. You know, we need to understand that there is a level of communication that happens inside, you know, with different parts of ourselves. But also, it can't just be looking at the inside. It needs to be sharing that with people. Now, if you go and share with people, you know, you have to meditate or you have to change and you have to do this, you know, there is a sense of burden or a sense of, I don't know. It's not so easy to follow such demands. So I think one can first change the attitude inside, you know, to find that sense of joy, and then just say, "Wow, you know, look, I used to be so stressed, and my shoulders really hurt, and I suffered from a migraine every Friday when I came back, you know, for my weekend break, and I learned meditation, a simple technique of meditation, how to relax the muscles of the body, and I feel so much better." You know, some people say, "Really? How do you do it? And what are you doing? And is it easy? And do you have to know to, you know, this and that?" And, you know, there is a sense of ease and flow in the connection, and you're sharing. And as human beings, we're social creatures, and we like to share, especially when we see that what we share is creating a sense of joy around us, because this is the natural state of being. You know, human beings are naturally joyous. And I think once people tap into that sense of sharing and being real and being honest and communicating what is going on, then in the beginning, it may be difficult because we have to face walls or people's sort of strong opinions. But in the end, people appreciate that sharing because it helps everyone. It helps everyone to realize that change is possible because they see it in a practical way through your change, and then they can apply it to their lives and change in relation to you and other people, and that creates a wonderful momentum, and there is even more joy that happens because there is a sense of lightness. I often go to people's family background, you know, I visit their families, and there's always a sense of hidden secrets and, you know, role-playing and family constellations that are difficult to understand, and even more difficult to understand if you're caught up in them. And, you know, why not free them? Why not create, you know, a sense of lightness rather than hide those things from yourself and from everyone around you? I think that's what the world needs today, more honesty and more real communication.
But I like what you say, too. It's because it is the approach, you know. I guess if... people, there might be walls, but people are more receptive. It's the approach, you know.
Exactly.
And if people can keep that approach lighter.
Exactly. And it's not only the approach, but it's also knowing when not to preach to people, you know, and say, you know, because if you do, then somehow on some level you don't believe it. You know, because there is no need to say anything if you know. You know, you don't have to convince another person.
That's so true. Oh, and that's a wisdom. That's a wisdom learning. I can say in the beginning, you know, parts of my path of the little preacher came out. But yeah, there's a wisdom to that, because when you really know it and living it, you really, yeah, there's nothing to prove.
Exactly.
Oh, Tony, this has been wonderful. I'm so touched that you were able to come on the program and have this awakening dialogue. I just want to let people know the way to get in touch with you, Tony, is it samara.org?
Yes, yes, it's www.tonysamara.org.
Right, and just for those listening, TonySamara.org, and of course it'll be on the Awakenings page.
Yes.
And the recent book, Shaman's Wisdom. You also have some other books out.
Yeah, there are quite a
well,
few books. Yeah.
Quite a few.
Yeah. All available on Amazon.com. So, you know.
Okay. Okay. So we've got the Shaman's Wisdom, From the Heart, Different Yet the Same, Deeper
exactly.
Than Words.
Yeah.
But truly, this has been a joy. Thanks so much for being on the program with us, Tony.
Oh, thank you.
Much peace.
Thank you.
And our guest was Tony Samara, author of Shaman's Wisdom, Reclaim Your Lost Connection with the Universe. All books are available on Amazon.com, or you can find out more information about Tony and his work at TonySamara.org. Always great to connect with all of you. Such a joy. Remember, readings, questions, comments is 12 to 1245, 1250. At the top of the program, and then the second half of the program, we have our Awakening Dialogue with our Awakening guests. Always great to have guests on and share, and always great to share with all of you. So until next week, continue to share your light, shine brightly, and, of course, keep awake. Much peace.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awakening conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.